Tonight I'm going to read a poem by Maya Angelou entitled Amazing Peace, a Christmas Poem. Thunder rumbles in the mountain passes, and lightning rattles in the eaves of our houses. Floodwaters await us in our avenues. Snow falls upon snow, falls upon avalanche over unprotected villages. The sky slips low and gray and threatening. We question ourselves, what have we done to so affront nature? We worry, God, are you there? Are you there really? Does the covenant you made with us still hold? Into this climate of fear and apprehension, Christmas enters, streaming lights of joy, ringing bells of hope, and singing carols of forgiveness high up in the bright air. The word is encouraged to come away from rancor, come the way of friendship. It is the glad season. Thunder ebbs in silence, and lightning sleeps quietly in the corner. Floodwaters recede into memory. Snow becomes a yielding cushion to aid us as we make our way to higher ground. Hope is born again in the faces of children. It rises on the shoulders of our aged as they walk into their sunsets. Hope spreads around the earth, brightening all things, even hate, which crouches breeding in dark corners. In our joy, we think we hear a whisper. At first it is too soft, then only half heard. We listen carefully as it gathers strength. We hear a sweetness. The word is peace. It is louder now. It is louder, louder than the explosion of bombs. We tremble at the sound. We are thrilled by its presence. It is what we have hungered for. Not just the absence of war, but true peace, a harmony of spirit, a comfort of courtesies, security for our beloveds and their beloveds. We clap our hands and welcome the peace of Christmas. We beckon this good season to wait a while with us. We, Baptist and Buddhist, Methodist and Muslim, say come, peace. Come and fill us and our world with your majesty. We, the Jew and Jainist, the Catholic and the Confucian, the Unitarian Universalist and the Atheist, implore you to stay a while with us so we may learn by your shimmering light how to look beyond complexion and see community. It is Christmas time, a halting of hate time. On this platform of peace, we can create a language to translate ourselves to ourselves and to each other. At this holy instant, we celebrate the birth of Jesus into the great religions of the world. We jubilate the precious advent of trust. We shout the glorious tongues, the coming of hope. All the earth's tribes loosen their voices to celebrate the promise of peace. We, angels and mortals, believers and non-believers, look heavenward and speak the word aloud. Peace. We look at our world and speak the word aloud. Peace. We look at each other, then into ourselves, and we say without shyness or apology or hesitation, Peace, my brother. Peace, my sister. Peace, my soul.
It's a beautiful poem, isn't it?
Maya wrote that after Katrina.
So as I often do on Christmas Eve, I have a story. Once upon a time, in those days after Thanksgiving, when Route 9 is transformed from its normal frenzy into something like a hornet's nest when you poke it with a stick, there was a minister, there was a pastor, who thought it was a good idea to pick his kids up from school and take them to Shopper's World. Earlier that day, he had been planning with his staff team all those worship services in December, including two children's pageants, one Quaker service, which is next Sunday, a sermon on the four kinds of prayer, oops, please, thanks, and wow. A music Sunday last week in which the choir was singing things about the Christian God that this minister knows many of them have at least some doubts, which is why Joe had them singing in German. And last but not least, this Christmas Eve worship. So as this minister, this pastor, a title which, by the way, references our role as shepherd, as a guide, drove into the parking lot of Shopper's World, it is fair to say that his mind was full of religious thoughts and stories and songs and images, one of which was the story we told in the Living Nativity. It was controlled chaos about an hour ago, during which the minister got to ask, who wants to be an angel? Who wants to be Caesar? Who wants to be three wise people? Who wants to be Mary in what will certainly be the shortest and least painful childbirth ever? All the moms raised their hands. Who wants to be Joseph? Who wants to be the star? And who wants to be the shepherd? Now, getting out of the car, this minister has an arm draping over each child to protect them from the vulture of cars circling around the parking lot. And then he leads them into the sparkling, crowded, upbeat Barnes & Noble. This minister knows that this time of year can appear so varnished to us and so perfect and so sweet, like that eggnog that you sip from the cup shaped like reindeer's antlers or Santa's face. And this minister knows, given all of that, how hard it can be. How hard it can be just to be who we are. Whether we're merry or depressed or thrilled or bored or sad or happy. How hard it can be to feel what we're feeling and still love ourselves and each other anyway. This minister also knows that these characters in the Jesus story that were read for us tonight have become so familiar to us, so domesticated, and how sad, so polarizing, depending on what we say we believe or don't believe, that we can't see ourselves in this story at all. In our 2013 almost lives. Bible, whatever. 2,000-year-old stories, that's so yesterday. Though it is worth noting that if Jesus had an iPhone, okay, imagine this, he could still fit his main message, love the Spirit and love your neighbor as yourself, in a text or a tweet. because that is 43 characters long, including the comma. I'm just saying. Okay, back to the store. Are you with me? Back to the minister, which is, of course, yours truly. And the reason I refer to myself there in the third person is not some preaching device to make it more palatable to you. I do that because it helps remind me to observe myself and to observe other people. Because, you know, there are stories and there are angels and there are little streams of light breaking out all over the place. If only we took the time to watch. Try it sometime. Try noticing what you notice, and I promise you that you will be amazed. Okay, so you know exactly where I'm talking about, don't you? On Route 9, the Barnes & Noble there on the corner. Starbucks, Barnes & Noble, what's to the right of that? Some store I haven't gone into, Sports Authority or something? Old Navy? So doors open, and there are books, and there are nooks everywhere. And the line is herding like an impatient flock of sheep around the diaries and the journals and the pens and the calendars placed there to tempt us with an unplanned purchase. Remember the line that Corinne read for us earlier, the one that has shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Remember that? Well, that's how it was for me. Only this time the fields are not fields, but instead they are the rows and rows of aisles in the Barnes & Noble store. And this time the stars are not stars, but instead are the bright fluorescent lights that are shining down on top of my head. And this time the shepherd's staff is not the staff, but instead is the super large venti Starbucks coffee I now have in my hand. And this time the flock are not sheep, but instead they are my children. And in the chaos of the store, I keep them close to me. Friends, remember this is weeks before Newtown, Connecticut. And so now with you, I keep them even closer to me. Because my children are your children. And your children are my children. And with our children close, this is when there in the Barnes & Noble turned into the city of Bethlehem that I see him. His open face and his wide eyes, his arms close to his sides, his fingers fidgeting, his legs crossed the way that kids do when they're feeling shy or scared. Dad, says one of mine, this is the new Diary of a Wimpy Kid book that I must have. Can I get it for Christmas? Dad, says the other of mine, this is the new Mysterious Benedict Society that I need to have. Can I get it for Christmas? And in this age of texts and screens, I have a new philosophy of parenthood. You know what it is? I never say no to books. Just then, as I'm saying yes to our kids, a woman's voice, you might think of her as an angel from on high, out of the speaker, beams out from the ceiling. Customers, can I have your attention? Customers, can I have your attention? Would the mother of Benjamin please go immediately to the children's section located near the cafe? And I'm still watching this little boy. He is about 7. And when the name Benjamin is said over the speakers from the angel on high, I see his eyes look up and look around and look down to the floor as if he has suddenly been noticed. And the angel says again, Benjamin is wearing a blue sweater with red stripes and green sneakers. If this is your Benjamin, please go immediately to the children's section. I keep watching the boy, and the boy now has crossed his green sneakers over the top of each other, and his arms that are blue and red striped close to his sides, and his eyes are looking down and looking up and looking around. He is so scared. This little boy is so alone. Dad, a tug on my sleeve. Let's get going. Let's go. Look at this. But I can't really pay attention. I'm watching, remember? I'm observing. And to my amazement, I'm watching as still no one comes. It's like 3 minutes or five. Where is she? Where is Benjamin's mom? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're sitting there asking yourself, Nathan, this is going to turn out okay, right? How is this a Christmas story? Stay with me. Observe with me. In the third person, watch with me. As you and I, we see two clerks leave that herd of a line in the front of the store, exasperating their flock. And you can imagine how we can be in line, right? Exasperating their flock as these two clerks wend their way across the fields, through the aisles, right to Benjamin's side, who is now doing everything that a 7-year-old boy can do to keep the tears from falling out of his eyes. His upper lip and his bottom lip are quivering. Now, if you know your Bible, as some of you do, you'll know that much later, we hear Jesus tell the story of the shepherd who leaves his flock of 99 to look after the single one who was lost. Remember that story? And it's this story I'm thinking of as each of these women, these strangers, kneel down to Benjamin's face, eye to eye, face to face, and they put hands on his shoulder, and they whisper softly to him. And each of them rise from their knees, tall as staffs, and putting him between them in the center, they guide like shepherds Benjamin out of the children's center, each of them an arm draped over his shoulder. Where are they going? We don't know. Will this turn out well? I'm sorry, we still do not know. Who wants to be a shepherd? Well, this we do know. And the shepherds are clearly these two women, these strangers who, as Luke read for us earlier, are entertaining an angel unaware. An angel with a little, who's a little boy, his name is Benjamin, in Barnes & Noble on Route 9 in early December. I'm so sorely tempted to follow them. You remember, I'm a pastor. I want to be a backup shepherd. It's part of my job. And one of my professional goals is to get out of the way and to let ministry happen. And because I have two sheep of my own, and I keep them at my side, I do not pursue. And that is okay. It is really okay. Because as I walk to the edge of the field, of the aisles, toward the door, wondering if there indeed will be a Savior today, wondering if Benjamin's mom will be found and all will be well in the world, I hear a yelp. You know what a yelp sounds like?
I think we have a kid somewhere in the back. Give us a yelp, somebody. There you go. Exactly. And I hear a yelp shoot out from one of those tall bookshelves, followed by a high voice exclaim across the land, "Benjamin, where were you?" I thought I lost you. Oh, my Benjamin. Friends, over the years, this is, I think, my 9th Christmas Eve with you. Over the years, and especially Friday, December 14th at 9:30 a.m., I have had people ask me, how can you sing and we sing Silent Night and Joy to the World when there is so much across the earth that is dark and broken and lost? I've literally been asked this question every single day since December 14th. Every single day. And my answer is very, very simple. My answer to how can we sing Joy to the World and Silent Night in these times is this. My answer is that we must. My answer is that we must. Because who is Benjamin? You know, Benjamin is not just some boy that you have never met, who is lost in a store. Anytime that you have been lost in your life, anytime you have been lost from a sense of direction or a sense of what is true, or lost your hope, you have become Benjamin. And who are the shepherds? The shepherds are not just two women in the checkout lane who ask us all the time if we have a Barnes & Noble reward card. Would you like one? No. Just let me buy my book. Right? But any time we have dropped what we are doing, leaving a crowd of exasperated people, and we have rushed to the side of someone in need and put a hand on a shoulder and guided them towards something like home and been a comfort, then you and I have become like shepherds. And who is Ben's mom? Ben's mom is not just some woman who lost her baby in a store and didn't hear the announcement maybe because she was calling her husband, so afraid of what to do. Because anytime you have lost something that was so important to you, and cradled in your arms when you have found that person or that hope, and loved something beyond yourself, and felt the power of selfless love, then you have become Benjamin's mother. And the point is this, not to put too fine a point on it. There is so much love in the world. There are so many shepherds. There are so many unheralded saviors. There is so much empathy. There is such beauty. Such ample evidence to hope in spite of the state of the world. And my friends, the greatest sorrow, I think, in these times may be that we are sometimes too caught up in ourselves and our lives to notice. But not at Christmas time. Not this year.
not now. Maya says that Christmas is the halting of hate time. She says Christmas is the heralding of hope time. So let us look heavenward. We go out of this church tonight and speak the word aloud, peace. Say it with me, peace. And let us look at our world, look all around, and speak the word aloud, peace. And let us look at each other, and let us go before a mirror and say without shyness or apology or hesitation, peace. Peace, my brothers. Peace, my sisters. Peace to our babies in the room, and peace to our souls.